Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Curvecast. Today's only three of us. It's myself, Osani, and
yes,
Sean, and you know the boy PF also. Also is here.
Bro, don't.
So yeah, guys, we're just gonna. we're just gonna talk about a few things that have happened in the football world since we last spoke to you guys. So yeah, I mean, obviously there's no other place to start. On Thursday, there were links up about Ronaldo.
Quite a few other places to start.
Yeah, no, no, guy, we're going to start. We're going to talk about Ronaldo's move to Man United. Obviously, it was linked to Man City. Pep has come out and denied those links, but obviously, I think the Pep thing is kind of funny because, you know, like, for example, you're trying to talk to somebody on, like, a, I don't know, like, social level, and they just pie you like this. You're not like, ah, guy, I really like them. That's what Pep is really doing because Pep obviously wants to sign Ronaldo. Honestly, Ronaldo went back to Man U. Guys like Ferdinand are claiming that they had a massive role to play, which I think is bollocks, to be honest. But what do you say to that?
Oh, you guys don't believe
but yeah,
that.
Guy, obviously.
I feel like
it's really had a part to play. I think he's overstating his guy. It's like, it's one of these guys who was like, oh, yeah, I was there.
I can't lie. City wanted him. Like,
Ferguson as well. Ferguson called him or something.
That guy is Yanni, bro.
Yeah, he was trying to probably run
it up.
He was probably trying to run up close for himself somehow, guys.
Gosh, I think you're V for 5 live. I don't mind that guy. That guy is a PR merchant. But nah, obviously, Ronaldo's back. So, Sean, how do you feel about that? And how do you think he's going to slide into your team?
Well, I can't, like, come by surprise, man. Like, I literally did not saw it, like, see coming bro. From...
Yeah, and that guy, the transfer turned around, like, bro, how many hours? Because I remember
like,
I dropped my...
Literally, I was literally paying attention, like, step by step to, like, every development. Like, I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, he's joining Man City, you know, calm, no pee. And then, all of a sudden, I just saw from one, like, random Twitter account that United want to sign him, or United are trying to like hijack the bid. I was like, nah, it's just probably just like, you know, some rubbish that they're just trying to run up or something like that. And then,
yeah,
just a matter of hours, I'm just seeing Fabrizio giving the here we go. I'm just like, bro,
it was kind of funny seeing how, you know, when he was off to City and a lot of United fans were
Sean guy posted a pretty girl come my way.
Nah, man, I was actually kind of pissed. Like,
bro, a lot of United fans were so quiet. They were just like,
this guy gave his, like, six years of his life to this club. We gave him everything. He won his first Ballon d'Or here, made his name as a global superstar, and the guy wants to kind of go and join Man City. Oh, I was pissed. I'm not going to lie to you, Sha, but I can't lie. I'm a bit of a shameless individual.
Guy, Sean posted Phil Combs, guy. This guy, Sean is a crook, guy. Sean was posted Phil Combs of Ronaldo, guy. I saw the guy online.
I was just like, I couldn't. But, like, obviously, the turnaround was just literally, like, out of nowhere.
It was quick, guy. It was very quick.
I think...
Fair play to United, Sha. Like, to me, it was just one of those things that they had to do. Like,
that's to do this guy, regardless.
Obviously, Ronaldo is coming back, but man, Ronaldo is obviously Ronaldo. Yeah, he's still one of the best, you know, players, strikers in the world. But I don't know, like, something about me is just
kind of. I also felt like it was a pointless signing because he's basically going to do, unless. I'm not sure
what Cavani does.
Yeah, he's basically going to do what Cavani does. And obviously, Cavani is, you know, South American taxi. He has that passion and that work rate.
Forget what Cavani does, yeah. What Cavani can do. Ronaldo can do it like times 50, if we're being honest.
Yeah, but
I think the only difference is just that Cavani has work rate. Ronaldo
Cavani works harder.
Yeah, that's the point Ronaldo I was trying to make. Doesn't. But like, I don't know. Was the signing really? I don't know, man.
Was it necessary?
All it means is that we're just building a super team in the red side.
Yeah, it didn't feel necessary. To me, it's giving me some, you know, Alexis in, what was it, 2017?
I think United definitely wanted a striker. Like, obviously not this window. I don't think we're going to pursue a striker.
It was going to be Haaland next
year. Surely, you guys need... I'm sure you yourself, you'd want a DM.
Yeah, of course, man. If we had the choice to like sign a DM and Ronaldo, I'd have actually selected a DM. Cause
yeah, exactly. And even you're getting a striker, you're not buying a 36-year-old.
Yeah, man. But I can only hope, man, because apparently, like, Dan James is leaving. Apparently, Lingard is
leaving now
to go and talk to David Moyes. So, apparently, yes, United might send offers for Martial. So if you can actually like sell those,
yeah, sure. Nobody signing that Martial guy. Yeah, bro, honestly,
Martial is the player. That guy still plays ball.
Bro, if someone wants to sign Dan James, how would somebody want to sign Martial now?
Please, bro, Martial, Dan James is the best signing.
I thought you were saying Dan James is the better player. I'm about to vex for you.
Yeah, all things considered, Dan James is a better signing.
Guy, did you see a video of Marshall? Guy, there was one video of Marshall in an amusement park with his wife and kid. Guy was barking. I was like, man.
He's finished, man. I'm not even gonna lie, and it's actually painful because.
But the thing with Marshall is he doesn't have that mental drive on the pitch. So I just can't really take him seriously. Something that Dan James has.
Up to today, I actually like Martial because this was actually like in the trend. I was actually, you know, LVG 15-16 era now where the ball was just so, it was just so boring and just so tepid and devoid of any kind of life. Martial was literally the only one that was actually putting a smile on my face, man. So ever since that season, I just kind of had this soft spot for him.
Guys, because Muhari now came and just. And ruin things really. And
I think, you know, sometimes you just start to, obviously, yes, Mourinho obviously had like some kind of detrimental effect on Martial, but like sometimes you just look at same thing to Rashford. Mourinho wasn't great for Rashford, but Mourinho left.
Rashford just worked harder
himself as a player. Yeah. And got better and better. Martial just took, obviously, after that 1920 season where he got like 23 in all comps, that was like the perfect platform, stepping stone
time to
build as a player.
Yeah,
purple patch.
And exactly, and this guy gives 4 goals a season. Like, what's that supposed to mean, honestly? Like, I was just disgusted, man. And I like him, but I mean, it's just, you know, you just know when a player is just
done. When a player is done, and, that's, I mean, literally it. He's just not this anymore.
You just go to Bordeaux or something like that, man. Like,
guy, I respect this small guy. Guy, respect this small guy.
I don't know if I'm United won't sell him to you.
No, but what team is, who is buying Martial?
Guy, to be honest, I think his market is very much in France.
If Correa didn't sign for Inter would have done with a guy like him.
Nah, at all, guy. I don't see the point of Martial when you have someone like Dzeko already, guy, because Martial doesn't really attack space like that. So I think it's quite.
He should go to one league. He can eat well, Shah, because I don't.
Guy, he should go to Serie A though. Like maybe under Sarri or something. JDP heavy.
I think he's at a stage where he should just go and start scoring goals. If you go to Bundesliga now, just go to a team like, I don't know, like Bayer Leverkusen or something.
That's the perfect team for him.
Can easily bag like 25, obviously finish like third behind Haaland and now.
Yeah, 25 from where, bro? Like, chill now.
No, to be anybody can eat in the league now. Come on.
Okay, chill.
I'm not sure about. Not
everybody
sure.
eats.
He will at least give 20 goals in that league, Sha. That is one of the. That's the surest thing for me, Sha. Surest thing for me.
Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, no. Continue.
I just like, you know, obviously it's the effect of Ronaldo now. Like Ronaldo is obviously better than Martial. So, but man, I really wish we end this window with a DM. I'm actually on my knees, man, because I think this match This match was just, I think it was a painful watch, man. Like,
that pivot is too funny. And the funny thing about Ronaldo is he's going to have quite some crazy moments. He's going to have some, you know, he's going to score some winners or something like that. And everyone's going to get carried away.
I think Ronaldo will bag for United still. So
I think he'll bag in very big games. That's why I think.
Because this guy was bagging in Juve with who are his supporting cast, you know. Dybala,
Morata,
Cuadrado.
Kulusevski is your bowler, dude.
Kulusevski is like 30 and all, but like, I mean, you can't compare that supply line to Sancho, Bruno, Rashford, Pogba, Greenwood. These are really good players, and I think he'll bag if he gets games. He will bag. He's someone that's played in Prem before, so I think. Obviously, he played when he was, you know, an entirely different player, you know, back in the days when he was still.
Prem is quite different now.
Yeah, but exactly.
Barclaycard,
2000s, man.
Tougher defenses and all of that. But, man, I feel like we need to end this window with a midfielder.
A DM,
man. Yeah. Like, I'm literally on my knees.
Yeah, you guys obviously aren't signing Rice. So, who would you even want?
Man, I need, I don't even mind, literally. Okay. I need someone. Thing is, one thing about United fans are just so fixated with, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but the thing United lacks in midfield is actually just simplicity. Like, just the simple things. Like,
it's the fundamentals, yeah.
The mundane stuff, the fundamental things. Look at Fred, for example.
Yeah.
For example, now, Fred for one of the Traore chances, for that Trincao one that Wan-Bissaka cleared on the line, a simple pass, all Fred had to do was just control it properly and just prevent the break. Fred controlled it, or rather miscontrolled it. Trincao just blew by him and unfortunately they didn't score. So it's just the fundamentals. His first touch is not good. His pass selection can be really poor sometimes, and his execution is not that great either. And he's a midget in midfield. All he literally provides for us is intensity and just a bit of progression as well. But, like, we really need a DM. I don't even mind if it's not Rice. Like, obviously, you guys know how much I rate Rice and how much I really want him at United. If West Ham are saying ATMs or 100M, it's highly unlikely for that to be done before when the window ends, like, this week, right?
In 48 hours, bro.
Exactly. So I highly doubt that that's likely that we'll be able to sign a player with that amount, with that fee. Nevers, won't be linked with. I don't know how likely that would be.
I don't think that's a good signing either, to be honest.
The Nevers deal can probably happen in, like, you know, it's one of those deals.
I don't think it's probably, if it does happen, it would be a speedy deal. I don't think that would be.
Yeah, yeah, because obviously
now United now share agents with, what's his name?
Mendes and
so it would be a very good. Exactly. So, and now there's a bit of like a the Portuguese contingent at United. So, to come. But Neves isn't really what I want, because one, he's very intense. Not in a bad way, but he's a bit like, you know, he's all around the place per se. He's a good tackler.
There's a lot of misplaced aggression.
Aggression. Like, what I really want at United is someone who can just literally just positionally aware, you know, at the right place at the right time, doesn't just go snapping into tackles, because that was literally McTominay and Fred, and to a lesser extent, even Pogba, to a lesser extent. Matic, our best DM, literally. However, he's 30, what? He's like in his mid-30s, his legs are literally gone.
He just lacks, he can't run anymore.
Yeah, so we really need a DM, and I'm really pissed that United actually haven't been able to actually identify one to sign. Like, it doesn't have to be a budget, a bank. It doesn't have to be like a humongous sign. It can just be like a decent, just nice pick for like £10 million, £20 million. Even this guy from United that linked with Camavinga, I doubt that's likely, because that guy apparently wants to go to Spain and or PSG, but neither of them want to buy him. So he rather runs down his. I think he rather run down his contract with Ren, and
leave on a free next year. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Is Camavinga that good?
Is he what?
Do you want Camavinga? I said, we want Camavinga.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that I know extensively. I've watched him to an extent. Like, I know what he's good at. But to make a definitive decision as to whether I want him or not, he's a good player, obviously. He's talented and, you know.
I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's the guy to like come into United and you know, be the mainstay in that position. And I don't think he's ready for that
honestly. And I mean, he's 18. I'm bringing an 18-year-old midfielder. The midfield is the busiest place on the pitch. Throwing him into the deep end, I'm not sure he might be ready for it, because in Champions League. In, I think the game against Chelsea last season, because Ren and Chelsea were in the same if I recall, he didn't look great in my opinion. And
when Ren were at home, I remember.
Yeah,
it was all over the place. I remember Mounts. Yeah, Mounts so took him for a spin that game.
It might be a bit too early. Obviously, yes, he has talent. He has potential. Obviously, he can. He's going to improve as a player. I mean, he's still 18. There's no way he's going to regress as he ages. Not possible. But I'd rather someone like ready-made, you know. And if you look, whenever I say I want Rice, for example, now, everyone is always like, nah, don't get him. He doesn't offer progression. He can't dribble. He's not press resistant.
I'm just like, okay, if
you don't want Rice, then please give me like a list of other players that you don't mind. And it's cricket, literally. So I'm just like, he's a good player. I really, really rate him. I've made my admiration of him very clear for the last year or more than a year now. I can't lie.
More than obviously, a year, okay.
Just going into this, like, into the season or into this first 3 months, I think if we don't sign a midfielder now, we probably actually might in January. But man, by that time, the damage might have already been done, because now McTominay is injured. We're going to run a Fred Pogba pivot till McTominay is fit. And by the time, obviously, Rashford is undroppable, I wouldn't personally drop Rashford if he's, you know, fully firing and ready to go. Rashford would go to the left. Then the Pogba conundrum is: Pogba a pivot player? Is he on the is he left of a three? Is he left? All those little things. So United just, I don't know, man. Like Sancho, Varane, Ronaldo, yes, good signings, good players, but you know, ideally, you just want that midfield.
But did they address the primary concerns?
I think Sancho definitely does. I wasn't going to go into the season watching Dan James. I'm sorry to say.
Sancho's a cool signing. I mean, despite his performances
today.
It's pretty girl come my way type of.
Yeah, very good. But he's going to grow as a player. In the Premier League,
he's a cool player. And
Varane, obviously, was excellent today, in my opinion. Probably the best player for us.
Yeah, he did very well too.
Ronaldo is Ronaldo, and Heaton, obviously. I mean, nobody really cares about Heaton. So it's a window that obviously had a lot of promise, and I feel like if we got that midfielder, it would have been literally perfect, and also a backup right back. One day we're gonna have a discussion on Mr. 29. Nope. Mr. 29, Spider-Man. You know what I'm talking about now. I actually like him, but I'm just to not waste anybody's time. I'm just going to leave him. But one day we're going to have a discussion on him. But yeah, that's about it.
Soon enough, guys.
Soon
enough. But yeah, obviously, you guys played Wolves today, and obviously, spoken about United a lot. So just brush over that quickly. 1-0 Greenwood winner. Pogba, that pivot was a bit susceptible on the transition, especially.
Sorry, what do you guys think about the Pogba tackle?
I was gonna get onto that actually. Guy, I don't know, I've not actually seen it back. I saw it once and it didn't look very good. I think it's just about consistency, really, because I've seen those tackles given.
It was really reckless.
It was very reckless.
It was. I'm not going to lie to you. It was. I think if it was last season, it would have definitely been a foul.
Like, I was, bro, Skins was fully arguing with me, and I was a bit confused.
Yeah, I remember. That's what we were
because I think,
guy, but you know the refs, you know now they. Yeah, continue.
I think it's just because now, I think Osayn was probably going to say something about how they've really
let the game roll.
Contact and all of that.
Yeah.
I think what Neves did, if Neves wanted to actually buy that foul, because when Pogba got few into the tackle, Neves tried, or rather not even tried to, he was going to run, and he saw that like the pass was loose, or the touch was loose, and Varane recycled it to Greenwood on the right. So I think he now went down, you know, because he was going to run, and he now went down after he saw that, you know, the Wolves had lost the ball. So I think in Mike Dean's head, it was just like, you're just going down because United have the ball in a dangerous area and trying to, you know, stop play to prevent
anything. Yeah, I get that. Dangerous from happening. It's just like when, if you ask someone, like, someone that has, you know, the privilege of playing the tackle, like, it's clearly a red. Like,
yeah, I think
it was,
think
so, it was, bro, if Neves was like, two, like literally 2 inches away, like 2 inches to the side, bro. His shin, because Pogba, his thoughts were like,
if you even look closely, his what's it called? His shin pads moved after the tackle. His shin pads literally,
it was really because, and he threw himself at it, so he definitely wasn't in control either.
Yeah, I think that's Pogba is actually, I think I mentioned him once, his tackling technique is really bad. It was really,
it's poor. That is shocking. It's really shocking.
Last year,
let's just say corruption still.
Well, like, bro, you have to run up your cloud, like, run up your cloud, Arsenal. Like, for real. I'm sure if you guys were United last year, yesterday, you guys wouldn't have gotten that Xhaka ready for being on that chat.
The Xhaka thing. Are we talking about Arsenal yet?
Well, let's move on to the Arsenal.
Nah. I was going to say, guys, let's really get on to that because. Obviously, Arsenal played City yesterday, and yeah, we know how that went. Ended 5-0 to Man City. And obviously, yeah, I spoke about Arsenal before, but I think Arsenal actually started well. I don't think there was much wrong with the dynamics until they went a man down. And I don't really know why they insisted on pressing when they went one man down.
Yeah, obviously, when we went a man down, it was just... And obviously, I didn't change anything being a man down. Our press was even worse.
Precisely. But I think your press at first wasn't that good, though. Like, it was okay, but there were avenues to exit for City. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
That game, it was a serious, serious psychological collapse to me after, like, the first goal. Because the game, when it started, it was quite even and all right and everything. And then, obviously, we conceded... Gundogan header. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
And then everyone just switches off. And then the second goal, which was a foul, I don't really
understand. That was a clear foul. That was honestly crazy.
Things like that. Our players, the team.
The second goal wasn't to the Ferran Torres.
It was the punch from this guy from Laporte.
Laporte like slapped Chambers' face.
Just slapped Chambers.
And they had the whole review, and they were just like, nah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Our players aren't really built to react in those situations. That's one thing I've always known. So it just got worse and worse. And the red card didn't help. And things like that. I always feel like when it comes to that in-game management, Arteta is very clueless. Yeah, sometimes he doesn't know what to do even in those situations.
It's giving poach, guy. It's giving real poach.
Last year, we actually had an episode, we recorded an episode on Arteta, man, and it's actually come full circle again. Like, this guy.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. And it's literally funny, sir.
Guys, so the funniest thing is, I was in Ghana, we recorded the episode, and I remember it was with Sobita. I remember it's like word for word.
I think it was after the community.
It was after it was in Christmas.
It was during Christmas. Yeah, I remember. I can't remember.
It was before you. I remember it was after you lost to Burnley because you now beat Chelsea 3-0.
Oh,
I think it was that time you guys lost 4-1 to City or something like that.
Ronaldson era.
I think I was even backing at this.
Backing him on the thing.
It's actually come full circle. Like for real, though, like, I think a lot of things, like, the guy has done, especially in the last year or so, it's just been questionable.
Yeah, like, I think the Willock sale, the Saliba loan. I don't know. I remember, let's stop William first. Yeah.
Signing William, the same William you signed.
See, the thing with the William signing is, personally, I don't even think it was that deep. I feel like he has the most things.
Yeah, I don't know. Even William was very agent-based.
Yeah, William was a very agent.
It was reeking of what's it called, nepotism, guys. Yeah,
that aside, like, William was still like, he was just meant to be someone that would come in and do a job. He wasn't meant to get like 20G plus A or anything. He was just meant to come in and do. But he was awful. I'm not going to pretend like he was awful. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I just want to, but I feel like it screams hindsight. I think
the one that baffles me the most has to be that Saliba loan, man. And
yeah, I don't really understand the Saliba.
Like, genuinely, there is no way you can look at Arsenal's current crop of CBs and say, yeah, let's keep Ben.
The thing with Saliba was, apparently, Arteta wanted him to stay this season, but obviously I prioritized, you know, ball playing CB in Ben White. So he prioritized Ben White. So obviously, when he signed Ben White, when we signed Ben White, I already said that doesn't send the right message. And
did Saliba go on loan after Ben White signed?
Yeah, he went after. So it was sort of reaction to the Ben White signing, because apparently when he signed Ben White, he wanted Saliba to stay. And then that was when he had some meeting with his agent, blah blah blah. And then he said, okay, he can go on loan in the Premier League. And then Saliba was like, nah, he wants to go back to France.
Centre back, in my opinion,
it was a very dumb, centre back in my opinion, it wasn't.
Say I was at Teta now, if I was going to the window, I'd have said, okay, yeah, a backup left back, cool, we see him. Fair enough.
I think we actually need a CB. I wanted us to get a CB, but definitely not plus 15
million. Decent depth, yeah. Somewhere. But I mean, someone.
I wanted Tosin from Fulham. Tosin, Tosin is 6'6", two-footed, and bro, he's not terrible.
Yeah, guy.
And he's quite good.
He can break on both feet. That's one thing I noticed. Yeah. Like, Tosin carries both feet, which is quite good.
And he tackles with both feet, and he's pretty good on the ball. Like, he's a proper ball.
Yeah, so very good.
I was just like, and he was, apparently he's 10 million. I don't know.
Fulham was selling him as a top price.
Fulham would have placed a ridiculous 16 price.
Yes, it was 10. I think it was 10 to 15. But yeah, even these guys wanted them. Newcastle wanted him as well.
Because genuinely, like, Saliba, in my opinion, is actually...
Saliba is as very well, good
on
guy.
Loan and, like, currently at the club. Saliba, in my opinion, you guys might disagree, is actually Arsenal's best CB. Like, I think it's
Gabriel. Because Saliba has
Gabriel.
Bozo moments. He still has some moments.
Arsenal have... Saliba is 20, right?
Saliba is definitely our second best.
Saliba is 20, and Saliba and what's his name, Fofana, both were in
Saint. Bro, Fofana was his.
Fofana is his junior, and Fofana.
Yeah, Fofana was his junior at Saint Etienne.
Fofana left Saint Etienne a year after Saliba, I think, and
it was.
And he went straight into the Leicester XI, and he slotted in like it was nothing, seamless transition. And Saliba and you can now Fana is one of you know the, is actually one of the best CBs in the league, actually, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
and Saliba, Fana is very good. Who's deemed as you know a bigger talent than Fana, shifted last year, was on loan at Nice. Now he's come back, and now he can't get a game over Mari,
holding Mari,
holding Kolasinac, has even
Kolasinac, yeah, guy
ahead of an actual like young talented CB. So those kind of things, like we look at another example now. Arsenal, they don't have goals in midfield. If I'm being honest, Partey is not going to score. Xhaka isn't going to score.
The thing with that point is like, I'm not trying to defend Arteta, but. It's not like he obviously doesn't want goals from midfield, so that point isn't really valid to me.
I feel like is it is I think for example, now what
I'm not saying it's not an issue. It's just like just as it's that. It's just
I'm not trying to say that Arsenal need goals from midfield, but what I'm trying to emphasize is that his profile is unique, and I think what I think is Arteta actually gave himself an excuse, because I remember at the point last season, or before his loan rather, to Newcastle, he was playing with Willock at what's it called at 10, and Willock isn't a 10. His specialty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the thing. He doesn't want midfielders who score. If you know, when he signs midfielders, he wants behind the ball midfielders. And he was never going to. Bro, from the time after Willock's season on loan, I was already saying we're going to sell this guy, because you see that he stays on the bench, and he comes off the bench for like that. That's the only time he'd be used. Other than that, he wouldn't be getting any game time, because Arteta obviously prioritizes behind the ball CMs. That's why he was playing at
10. I don't even know why he didn't play what's his name called? Mukonga against City. I mean,
Mukonga against City.
Bro, I don't even understand the selection. It's like almost like it's almost like he went and said, let them, you know, destroy us.
This guy played like Xhaka, Smith-Rowe, and
Odegaard, Smith-Rowe. Yeah,
I actually was very confused. Like, what are Smith-Rowe and Odegaard supposed to do for you in CM? They're just going to get run past like nothing. And just things like that, like, you know, even signing Odegaard over Maddison, in my opinion, I don't know about you guys, I'm sorry, but how much did Leicester price Maddison at? Because I'm sure that
was like 60 million, I'm pretty sure.
60-70 or so.
60-70 million, yeah.
That's not even something I'll stress myself over.
Yeah, I was available, so I'm not sure you go for, I don't know, personally, I don't think you should go for Maddison or Odegaard when I was available.
Wow,
What's funny, I was going to come on to this later, but I want a lot of Lyon players that are available for cup prices, because, you know, Lyon, to be honest, this is like, it's quite lazy from Lyon's administration, because really, Lyon under Bosch, they're horrible. Like, they're seriously, they remind me of Palace under De Boer, where it's like massive JDP ideas, but they don't really have any concept of spacing defensively. Like, they're really bad. And then, obviously, they lost the game. I think they lost 3-0 or something in the first game. And then the owner basically puts Awar, Cherki, a lot of, like, good talents there available for loans, sales. So
we could get that Kakere guy as well, man. Like,
nah, Kakere is... Apparently, Kakere is untouchable, guy. He's one of the only guys they're building. Kakere is a serious player. But it's like, yeah, Awar's available for, I think, a loan with an obligation to buy, option to buy. So they just want to get him out as quick as possible. But yeah, man. Just before we wrap up, really on Arsenal, guy. Obviously, deadline day is coming. So, also, if you had to pick one player, who would you want Arsenal to sign as of now?
Most of the signings is really dependent on outgoings. I want a right back, man. But the thing is, I don't even know which right back I want. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, guy. Right back, Emerson, potentially. Barca needs money.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie.
He's not what?
He's not good, dude.
I don't really rate that guy. Like, I've not seen what's...
Emerson.
Last week when Barca played Bilbao. By the way, I don't know if you guys were that mad, but they got roasted alive last week.
Yeah, bro, I watched the full game, guy. My eyes were bleeding.
Who did they even play this weekend? I know Memphis
scored. Bro, it was Getafe today, and Getafe actually outplayed Barca for most of the game, but obviously, Memphis had a really good game. But I remember last week in the Bilbao game, I remember, like, obviously Bilbao, I don't know if you guys watch Marcelino Valencia, but his team's press, they're a very organized team. Like, they'll press very high, and they're 4-4-2. And obviously, Garcia was there to aid build up, because that's really all Garcia can do. Garcia is decent on the, I think even in possession, he's quite, it's overstated, but he's good on the ball. So I just remember in transitions, like, it was now Iñaki against Garcia. Yeah. You guys know, obviously, with Piqué. His annual strip search comes at San Mamés. Like, whenever Barcelona play Iñaki, guy, Piqué is always stripping. And the same thing happened to this guy. He got injured. And then Araujo actually played well, but Garcia's own guy. Garcia's like Piqué in the sense that, obviously, Piqué's is worse now because Piqué can't run again, but... With Garcia, if you catch him in the channels, guy, you're going to kill him.
Garcia,
because
stinks, man. Garcia is like 5'9 speed and slow. That's the worst
competition. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't really shocked that these guys were sustaining pressure for most of the game. And obviously, Barca's front line is quite unbalanced, to be honest, because I'm a massive Griezmann fan, but he doesn't offer that much anymore. Like, because if you're playing him on the right, it doesn't make sense, because Griezmann can't really dribble. Even in pockets, he's not as effective as he once was, because now he wants to take too many touches. So, but yeah, Barca, we wouldn't get onto these guys, because Barca are all over the place right now. I think Fati and Dembele coming back, and Dembele is damaged goods now, but Fati and Dembele coming back would really save their season, because, man,
Arsenal should test the waters for Osman next year, sure.
Guy,
35 million bid. I promise you.
Nah, guy.
But what I run right now? I want a striker, man. I really want that Tammy, but apparently, I just saw an Aubameyang to Barcelona link.
To like Barcelona, right, yeah. Yo, guy, it won't shock me if you guys do Coutinho, Oba.
The replacement lined up is Origi, and I'm not really sure.
You must not sign Origi to replace Aubameyang. If Aubameyang goes, that's not Origi. I don't think I'm used to love you guys. You guys can go and start down your youngster. What's that other guy?
You guys said that your youngster, bro. That guy Polari, is bro. Don't guy your club the football, bro. Come on.
Polari Balogun, guy.
They call him Flo Balogun.
My name is Adi Folarin. They call the guy Flo.
I think the first game I seen, they call him the guy Florian. I was like, yeah.
Some call him Flo. Some guys be like Florian. I was literally in the guy was arguing with me that it's Flo Florian, and I was like, nah, bro.
Now wow, I saw that guy's American.
Yeah, he's American, but he got an under-21 call-up for England.
Guys want to play for Super Eagles. We kind of need that.
Why do you suppose for strikers? We have
Osimhen. We have... Do you know who's really good? Terem Mofi. I really like that guy. Yeah, Mofi is a good player. And then, obviously, Iheanacho is there as well. Even guys like Lookman, obviously, not almost called... they're not committed yet, but there's a lot of guys in the pipeline now. The Lookmans, the Olises of this world, there's a lot of good players.
Yeah,
but yeah, guy, obviously, just to touch on a few things before we end, obviously, massive game yesterday, Liverpool, Chelsea. Speaking of refereeing decisions, what do you guys make of the James thing? I mean, for me, it was a clear handball and a red card. But
yeah, it was a clear handball.
What
do
you guys make of it?
Because
really, if you watch the thing again, like, he actually adjusted his arm. He tried to con the ref with that arm on body, but his arm literally moved his leg to slap the ball.
You know, the thing is, I feel like even before he swerved his arm, I feel like he still knew what he was doing.
Yeah, of course.
So he now swerved his arm, so it'd be like it was moving
with his leg. Yeah, in conjunction, exactly.
This thing, people, it's
always so subjective, because now, for example, now Chelsea fans were saying it was not a handball. Liverpool fans were saying
which is madness.
If it happened if it was the other way around, Liverpool fans would have said
it's normal.
Chelsea fans would have said it's not a handball. So that's why most of these debates are.
I always just feel like footballers, most times in situations like that, they always know what's going on. To me,
exactly.
So I find it hard to be like, oh, it just means.
Devil advocate, for example, now, because I'm sure if a Liverpool player did it now, the Chelsea player would have been all over them, the ref, asking for a pen to have been given. But
obvious, man. The ref didn't even waste time.
It was definitely penalty. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was really, really obvious. But that was a really good match.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that. Yeah, No, see, don't get me started on the man, because they're just going
to... That's the issue I was going to come to, because I think this is the first time we're really speaking about Lukaku in depth, at least, or just touching on him. And what do you guys make of his performance? Obviously, Lukaku coming back. Also, I had this discussion yesterday, or even today, I think. But anyways, a lot of pundits were saying how, you know, he's gone to the Italian school of thought, he's learned to the Conte, back to go to
Zidane.
He now faced Mari, which was, and Mari really approached that duel the worst possible way by trying to engage with him. As per,
bro, remember, like, remember muscle to muscle. Goal. Remember the first goal where Marius tried to get in front of him. I still don't understand.
I think Van Dijk and Matip should, to an extent,
show him how to defend
against Lukaku. You're not supposed to. Even Adama.
Yeah, bro. You see, Matip used his long legs and was just like.
There was a deal that Matip got into with Lukaku earlier in the first half that he tried to go very tight. Lukaku just spawned him. And after
just
that.
Just spawned me, exactly.
After that, he just said, you know what? I'm just going to give myself a head start, give myself a couple yards of space and defend the space. Even same thing to Adama today. I've seen a lot of United players, Fred, Wan-Bissaka, Pogba occasionally, when he tried to get close to Adama, they tried to sit too tight, touch tight. Adama is literally the fastest player in the world.
In the world, fast.
He's ridiculously fast. He's extremely powerful. These Wolves guys, they also apply baby oil on him. So, if you're trying to get touch tight,
I think it's so funny, guys.
Literally, because if you're going to like get touch tight with him, he will just spin you because the oil acts like as a lubricant, so you can't even grab hold of him. But
I think there was a time, a duel
him and Varane had. Varane just said, you know what, if I'm going to get in the foot race with you, despite me being quick, I'm not going to beat you and I'm not stronger than you. Just keep yourself, give yourself a nice distance and you come out, because Adama, if we're being honest, the first 5 yards he's awesome, but like when he now has to make a decision, that's
when he has to decelerate. Yeah, exactly.
that's when he now overcomplicates
things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So lesser extent to Lukaku as well. I'm not trying to say Lukaku is all power and all of that, but if you're like him, you know, on that physical
racism
contact.
Watch.
I didn't say that, but like a player like him. Relies on physical.
Yeah, he relies on it and his frame. He just like
exactly.
Yes.
Nine times out of ten, any defender in the league that gets tight with him, he's going to spin them.
So you're getting spun. Facts.
But I thought he did a decent job though. Like Chelsea were down to 10.
I'm
not going to say it was horrible because it would be very unfair. Because
he did well. I think he worked the job as an outlet. He provided a constant outlet for them. I think one thing I noticed, like with Lukaku, it's obviously, people banter about it, but I think defending him, you have to just pay attention to his first touch as well. Because Lukaku, he's a powerful carrier, but he's not a secure carrier in the sense that he can carry over last distance, it's fine, but he might trip over himself in the sense that, you know, he'll leave the ball behind. Yeah, so I think that's kind of one thing you have to do.
It's not,
it's not consistent, so that's one thing.
Lukaku, like, I think Liverpool need to refresh that attack. I feel like
Mane is looking dusty now.
No, not even Mane. Firmino, like Liverpool. Bro, look, I think Salah is the only player that.
Salah is the only player that
guaranteed.
Really Liverpool.
I think Firmino was okay, yesterday until he came off. I think he did okay.
I don't think he did much, in my opinion. I think obviously his pressing, his link play will always be decent. His pressing.
That's really all he does in that sense.
Firmino's. If I'm being honest right now, Liverpool's only goal threat is Salah. Like, consistent
Salah
goal threat.
Facts.
Yeah, the only reliable goal threat is true.
Mane has...
But the thing with Mane, bro, Mane can just turn up the next game and do a madness.
Yeah, facts. That's the truth.
Like, but I was going to say, if Liverpool get their hands on Isak, then that would
Isak,
be
bro. Isak, that's the guy Isak, they need.
Bro, Isak, the best team we can go to is honestly Liverpool.
I think even someone like Vlahovic, like I'm not a Vlahovic fan to be honest, but I think he still somewhat serves a purpose because the guy just gets shots off so quickly. I know Liverpool created up by pressing, so I think even him he could do a job. But obviously Isak is secure. He runs channels
secure
well.
On the channel, bro. Once you have this sort of penetrative wingers.
Yeah, guy. Cash money.
What's this guy saying for Atletico right now, Felix? Is he actually getting games? Because I think.
Bro, he was funny. I watched the game tonight. He was on. He wasn't even on the bench, and he's been in training since. He wasn't in the squad tonight, which is strange.
But that Felix signing was always so weird.
It was always going to fail.
It was a record transfer for these guys.
The guy's one of these 7-year death row contracts.
Fell off a massive cliff, man. I don't even know. Like,
bro, the things are still raising, but I just never really saw it happening.
He's a very good player.
We actually don't see that guy get games, if I'm being honest. Honestly.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, man. Like,
but now it's Yeah, Sean, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Prem is just looking tough.
He's looking tasty. Year. He's looking tasty this season, guy.
First three games for each team. You know, first international break.
Play 3-1-3.
Spurs top, you know.
Guy, let me be honest. Like, I don't really care about us not conceding. Like, I don't think we're scoring enough. But the thing with that, I attribute it to one thing. It's the profiles. Like, you guys know how I feel about Dele Alli. Like, I'm not a Dele fan by any stretch of the imagination. And yeah, I mean, people always quote his running and stuff, but you know, like, you can run 100 meters, but if you're doing nothing with the ball, then I don't really care about what you're doing. And the problem is with that Spurs midfield. It's very workman-like, but they're no natural passers. So that's why, like, Watford could dominate today because there was just a lack of, I wouldn't even say security, but just, like, know-how with the ball. Like, sure, you're secure with the ball, but if you don't know what to do with it, then that security is somewhat, like, you're negating it in that sense. So, Ndombele's thing is, this is another reason, like, all these guys like Winks, Mason, all these, like, top eights, they can't see them because, obviously, Ndombele played really well until the cup final, and it's the first cup final of his career, blah, blah, blah. Then Mason dropped him for Winks. And if you, like, I'm sure you guys will not rewatch that game, but if you, like, watch some clips of that game, our biggest problem was progression into what's called the final third. I remember a time, do you know what's funny? Like, without the ball, we were fine, but with the ball, we were so bad. And I remember there was a moment which kind of encapsulates everything where Winks had the ball, and there's open space to run into. And the guy did like a Cruyff turn and then ran back into pressure. And I'm thinking, that's Ndombele's bread and butter. You know, give the guy, you know, just a yard of space and he'll create something for you. So I think he's like being very determined to leave this summer. There's linking into places like Bayern Munich, Barcelona. But, you know, I'm an Ndombele apologist to a degree, but I think the guy needs to work harder as well. Like, there's no way around this. You know, Ndombele goes... The guy got embarrassed so many transitions. Like, in his time at Spurs, the one I think, obviously, Adama is hard to defend, but there was one against Wolves before the last game before lockdown, I think, the first lockdown. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, Neto and Adama just ran range around that guy, and he had come on as a sub, and he was panting. I'm thinking, bro, you barely played for 5 minutes, and you're already huffing and puffing. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, 1-0 is fine. I think everything is fine. It's just the profiles are wrong. For me, I would introduce this guy, Brian Hill. I think Brian Hill did very well playing as an eight, which was quite unorthodox because I don't really see him as an eight, but he did well in the Europa League. Obviously, different opposition, but he offers penetration through carries. Ali doesn't offer that. Ali offers it off the ball, but even off the ball, there's no real variety in his movements. It's so one-dimensional. So it's like, you know, and it sounds like an onslaught on Ali, but it's really not. It's just... doesn't bring that much to the table. The thing is, you guys might see, because I talk about this almost every match day, but Ali's very heavy. Like, and it's not in the sense that, oh, he's fat or anything, but like, his touch is heavy. So in transition, for example, one reason I really like Awa is because Awa gets the ball out of his feet so easily. Like, it's seamless. Whereas someone like Ali, okay, Ali will get the ball. Bro, even like Smith Rowe, for example, the way they
ball receptions are 360
mounts. Yeah, exactly.
And they can receive the ball anywhere on the pitch.
They're crazy in transition instead of play. Whereas like Ali, for example, in transition, Ali will get the ball and it will take him like 3 touches to control it. When he finally controls it, he'll stop and look up to try and play like a Hollywood pass. And by that time, already recovered numbers, the recycle possession, and then, you know, on back first again. So as much as I like us being first, I, to be honest, I don't really care about the season that much because, guy, Kane is leaving at the end of the year. To be very honest, Kane is gone. Like, his head is not here. And by the look of things, we'll be better without him if we can reinvest the money correctly. Not signing guys like Vlahovic and Martinez. Like, we'll get on to that another day. But, like, this season is just about building. And I think blocks are in place. That guy didn't play. Romero is good, but Romero is a bit of a gra-gra guy. Like, his own is too much. He's one of those guys that I think, like, Lukaku might do with him because Romero loves getting touch tights on attackers. And it's almost too much. Whereas, like, he'll be fighting, trying to, like, take your shirt off, you know, in that sense, to get the ball. I think that's Lukaku. To be fair, he dealt Lukaku quite well, but that's Lukaku's bread and butter. If you get touch tights to him, he'll just spin you. But Romero's got more than enough recovery speed to deal with him. And that's what happened last season. So he's done okay. I mean, it's weird, sure. Like, I spoke about it with Mo a while ago, but, you know, everything is in peace. But, you know, the profiling in the transfer window has just been abysmal. Like, I know Sean, you're a fan of McKennie, but McKennie doesn't really solve any issues we have. I mean, yeah. Obviously, he's a natural ball winner. He's somewhat of an upgrade on Skip in the sense that, you know, he's probably a better passer.
I think McKennie is more of an end product guy. I think he's typical box-to-box.
Yeah, exactly.
You affect the game more in the opposition's box.
But the problem with that is, in the midfield right now, we just need a ball player. Like, and we've lacked this since before Eriksen was tailing off, because even when Eriksen was still here, really, at the back end, he was doing nonsense. And, I mean, I'm not going to discredit him. He did a lot for the club. But, you know, that's why I'm so insistent on us signing our box. We're not going to sign him because we'll pick one of these, McKennie or, you know, I was seeing links to Zakaria, and I'm thinking this is the last guy we need. But, you know, just signing a natural passer will elevate Spurs. And for me, you know, a natural passer and Adama and Guy, I'm happy with the window. Like, I don't really care about the right back situation too much, but yeah, right now it's somehow sure. But what do you guys make of that whole Kane saga? And yeah, Sean, would you take Man United next summer?
Nah, I'm sorry. Osami asked about the Kane saga, and I wouldn't take him. I can't lie. I rate Kane, like, I think he's one of the best strikers in the world, but, like, you're going to pay a lot of money because...
I think because he stayed, I think it's more likely he goes to United next year. Yeah. But I don't think United should. I don't want him. I'm not saying he should. I'm saying I feel like he's probably going to go
to United. Like, Daniel Levy being a very, like, tough negotiator, that transfer is one
You guys should have just cashed in, man, like...
Do you know what's funny with Kane? Like, I think the media is so funny in spinning this narrative of Levy tough. Obviously, Levy is notoriously tough, but City offered 50 million plus Laporte, and that can never suffice for Kane. Let's be sincere with ourselves. Like, you know, it's not just that aspect. It's, you know, captain of England, like, chasing top scorer. These things matter in negotiations and the bargaining chip. So I think City never brought a serious offer to the table. Whereas with Kane, what I was thinking of, Kane to United can be like, obviously it will never happen, but it'll always be like one of these RVP one and done, so you just go there short term, but it never happened because the nature of the contract would just be too complicated for that to really, really happen. And I don't think Kane's going anywhere on loan. So I kind of sympathize with him, but it's like, look, I'm a Spurs fan, but you know, who in their right, like, which God fearing person signs a 6-year deal with Spurs, like, in your peak? I think that's quite stupid. So,
he's almost like himself with that one, man. Like,
bro, you reap what you sow in that sense.
Players and agents, because I think more time, I think it's the agents that actually lead the players. Like,
yeah,
because,
bro, the agent fees that come along with it.
The fees, like, the agents are just doing it for their own sake.
Look at the Eli Moriba situation, for example. You know, Elex has had a host of offers, and he's really risking playing the entire season in the stands because Laporta said it. Laporta is like, Elex will not play for the first team this year if he doesn't want to renew. And, you know, Elex is asking for more than, what's this guy's name? Piqué, who's taking a deferral.
Bro, so how old is it? Like, why is he got so much? What's crazy
is Elex has played, he's not played up to 20 senior games. And look, I rate Elex a lot, but Elex is not the best thing since sliced bread. So even if you are, like, you have no grounds to really make these claims.
The guy is joining Leipzig, sure.
He's joining Leipzig.
This is what Balogun was doing. Very low.
I think with Elex, like, his agents are Germans, and they have very close ties with Leipzig. They're the same agency that own, I think, Willy Orban and Konrad Leim as a lot of Leipzig players. So I think that's why they wanted to go there, because the commission fees would be healthy. It's similar to what we're saying with Kane and Charlie Kane when he signed that 6-year deal. Is that healthy? You know, that like retirement type of commission? That's what they're really looking for. So it's a shame, to be honest, because, you know, of course, he's not special, but he has potential and he can really become you're for something Barca don't have in that sense. But, you know, not to be that guy, but, like, more than a club, like, you're not bigger than the club. So if you're not going to train and be a professional, then you have to bounce, you know. But just a shame, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, yeah, bro. Guy.
Even guys like Zaha, for example, now that guy's going to go and sign a death row contract. Zaha is like 29 now, and he can never
do that. I think this summer he's giving up on, you know, chasing that transfer.
Yeah, of course. And
like, there's no point because
Whenever like I think of Zaha, also Ashwin, have you guys seen that video of Zaha in the club? And it's not like an Arsenal.
Last year, that was the most he's ever told to us.
Bro. Nah, man, he was. He was on his knees for that move. He was on his knees for that move, man.
That was so funny, guy.
It's so funny because Emery really wanted him.
Yeah,
I think we would have signed him, but Arsenal really wanted to sign to have a marquee signing. Like, yeah, marquee signing. 60 M's. That's why we went for
Pepe. They signed Olami.
But what you think of it now? Bro, I wish like Saka had like broken through or something, because Saka would be a much better fit right now. Brother Pepe guy is so.
Olami DP.
Brother Pepe is dead. He's the funniest bowler, man.
Pepe is so funny because he's so weird, because sometimes he looks so secure but then he can look so insecure in the same action. Like
that West Brom game, I keep replaying it. There was a time Shaka played a ball over the top to him, and you know he played the ball like, you know, normally a normal human being would like control the ball. Pepe just the ball just bounced on his head and then went like. I need to find that clip. Like, I keep remembering. I'm like, this guy is a professional. Like, bro.
You know, Pepe started off his career as a goalkeeper. That probably explains everything, Sha. Because just the basic stuff, he actually lacks it.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't attack space well. There's so many things he can do.
The thing with that attacking space, bro, if he wants to move, he can move.
He
knows how to move inside. He knows how to do that. Once you give him the right distance, but the thing is, he's not like someone like Pepe. Ateta would never have put this guy. He's not a settled play guy. He has to with momentum. The
transition baller.
Like, bro, that's it.
But look at when he was at Lille. Most of his goals came in transition.
Yeah, all his goals came
reminds me of Jeremy Doku, in the sense that there's one clip also, guy. I think it's from, you know, the Olympiacos game. Where Pepe, he dribbled somebody. Now could get again.
That was man. That was the first time I saw Tsimikas, and I was like,
yeah,
actually a cool.
And then you know what's crazy? It's Doku. I remember in the Euros like this against Italy. I remember Doku's. Who was the guy? I think it was Di Lorenzo, and he spun Di Lorenzo quickly. He now went back again, and again. I really hate that. Like, I hate when players
do stuff like that. It's even better just shooting, even if it's off.
Okay, honestly,
that Pepe guy is a joke. Like, bro, remember that Brentford game? There were some things he was doing that was just good. And you know, and the worst part is the guy has stands. Like, they always defend him.
Yeah, good. Like,
bro, he does, bro. The guy who has stands, and they'll be saying this, that,
They'll say Arteta failed him, this person failed him.
Bro, Saka was how old? 18, like, but Saka came in and did his thing, and Pepe needs, Pepe, there are so many conditions. He needs to receive inside the house space. Please, come on, man, get serious.
Okay, imagine giving your like coach or your potential employer, giving them a criteria. Guy, are you mad? Like, guy, bro, who does this?
But those kind of bowlers are so tiring. Those guys need some certain type of condition.
Guy, that's Dele Alli in a nutshell, bro. You need high volume progression. You need half space cross for him. You need somebody that drops deep. Ugh, that guy is just a tactical nightmare. But yeah, I think that's the perfect place to end this. We've spoken about a lot of things today. We started talking about Ronaldo and returning to Barclays. We spoke about Kane.
Ronaldo is on some serious fraud watch. If I all the United guys are off,
the guy's on pretty girl come my way watch, guy. He's on serious. Nah, Sancho is
no more pens for But Bruno.
Bruno. Let's see his goal tally. Yeah. Let's see, sure. MP.
Guy, Ronaldo will run some PR and be like, nah. Bruno to be like that.
Nah, Bruno have one pretty old come my way cameo like this. Ronaldo doesn't get penalty.
No, Bruno is the most pretty girl come my way.
You gotta give me penalty. You gotta say, Germano. You gotta say, Irma. You gotta give me penalty.
Germano.
Don't kill yourself.
You gotta say, Irma. Okay, I think he's. No, okay.
I saw Bruno is a better pen taker than he, isn't he?
He probably is. I can't.
Nah, Bruno's hopes to be crazy.
Anyway, his technique is getting a bit, found out.
No, Bruno's technique for pen is actually really good. He's actually really good.
He changes up sometimes. He does like the show run up and just like smashes it.
He does that when we're drawing.
But when he did the hop, when him and Jorginho used to do it,
He did this in Europa League final when he did the quick run up and only for DDG. So,
DDG, yeah,
that pen.
Come on, bro.
We'll get on to that. But yeah, obviously, thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with another episode soon and with more stuff. So, yeah, everyone, take care from all of us.
Take care, guys.
See you guys soon.
Night, bye.